Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges, meant to help people explore what it means to follow Jesus even in our busy commuting lifestyle. It's Tuesday, and as part of our daily and weekly rhythm, that means we're exploring what the Bible has to say about our topic. This week, our topic has to do with a shift from acquaintances to partners. As we're trying to be great neighbors, it begins with learning one another's names, becoming neighbors, then getting to know one another through acquaintances, and then finally, partnering, working together on something. Here's the story we're going to look at from the Bible this week. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Well, this story reminds me of classic movie moments of mistaken identity. It's kind of a classic scene in any number of movies where suddenly you realize who you've been talking to all along and all the mistakes you've made, and how embarrassed you are to finally meet the king or whoever it is. Just last week, I saw the movie The Internship. It tells the story of these two bumbling buffoons and their attempt to get a job with Google, to get an internship. They just lost their sales jobs, feel like they're dinosaurs in a changing world of technology, and so they decide to go big or go home. And so they apply for these internships, and it really comes down to the struggle. And sorry, I need to give you some spoiler alerts here. I might give away some important parts of the movie, so if you're planning to watch The Internship, just shut down now. You're excused from today's challenge. Anyway, the story really boils down to the competition between these two guys, the protagonists in the movie, and another team of not-so-misfits, a team of real geniuses who are led by this one particularly pompous young guy. He starts out talking to them at one point in the movie because he thinks they work at Google because they're so much older than him, and eventually realizes they're just interns as well and walks away and says, "I thought I was talking to somebody important." And so he's a jerk like that through the whole movie. And at the end, the team of misfits has finally come out on top. They've won, and one of the key moments was when one of them got help from one of these guys who works at Google, just this scruffy bearded guy who wears headphones all the time. And he reaches out to this guy, gets to know him, and he gets a lot of help. And it ends up helping them win. Anyway, at the end, when it's revealed that the team of misfits has won, this villain, the young pompous guy, just can't believe it. And he's upset that he hasn't won, and he says, "We need to get somebody down here to fix this who really matters." What happens is the scruffy bearded guy with the great big headphones steps onto the stage and he says, "Then I'll help." And it's revealed that he's the head of search at Google, a very important position. And he says, "You know what? This team of misfits, they displayed some true Googliness. They may not have been the smartest, they may not have been the strongest in some of the challenges, but they displayed Googliness." It's been revealed earlier in the movie that Googliness is the kind of community and collaboration and creativity that Google really values. But the villain of the movie says, "What does that even mean?" And the scruffy bearded guy with the headphones says, "The very fact you don't know what it means is why you will never work at Google." Now, in the story from the Bible we looked at today, Jesus says about his kingdom something very similar. He says there's a kind of kingdomliness. It's shown most obviously in this story in compassion for others, something that the villain in that movie was obviously missing. And Jesus says that the kind of compassion we show for others, visiting the sick, those who are imprisoned, feeding the hungry, those kinds of things, We may not see the value of them in and of themselves all the time, but Jesus always does. And he says when we serve people like that, when we care for them, it's like we're caring for him. It's like we're caring for the things that matter to him, the people that matter to him most. They're not a way to buy a ticket to heaven or anything like that. That would be a misinterpretation of this passage. One, I can understand how you'd get there. But in fact, what he's saying is not that if you do these things, it's an automatic ticket to heaven. He's saying these are signs that you get what the kingdom of heaven is really all about. When this kind of thing just comes naturally to you, or at least when it's worth doing, when you see the worth in it, even when you don't know the person, when they're hardly a neighbor, they're even a stranger, when you care for the least of these, it's a sign that you get me and you get my kingdom and you get what matters in my kingdom. This is why Jesus says he can basically sort people out this way. Some are going to be on his right, some on his left. Some will be invited into his kingdom because they've always wanted to be there. And others will be left behind because they made it clear by their lack of care for others that they didn't care for God and the values of his kingdom. And so why would they want to be there for eternity if they didn't want to be there now? That's how Jesus describes his kingdomliness, the values of his kingdom, and how he'll see them played out in compassion for others. Now, there's a second part to this story. The part that we explored is very much the positive. He says to the righteous these things. And there's a parallel that comes right after where he says the negative side of these things to the unrighteous, those who've chosen not to pursue his kingdom values. He makes it clear that this kingdom is something that we can choose to live out now or not, and that it indicates something about our future wishes for eternity. Well, I've got a question for you to consider today. How do these six actions benefit three people? First of all, how do they benefit the recipient, the doer, and Jesus? Think about the six actions. Those that are done giving home to the homeless, giving water to the thirsty, giving food to the hungry, visiting the prisoner, visiting the sick, and welcoming the stranger. Consider those six actions and how they benefit the three different groups I mentioned: the doer, the recipient, and Jesus. What's in it for them? Well, have a great discussion. I hope you'll share this with somebody else and begin a little discussion group with our questions every day, not just today. Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.